You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Then the king will say to those on his right,
"Enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation, and here's why. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was homeless, and you gave me a room. I was shivering, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you stopped to visit. I was in prison, and you came to me."
Then those sheep are going to say,
"Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you?"
Then the king will say,
"I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me."
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
A group of salesmen were going to a regional sales convention in Chicago. They had assured their wives they would be home in time for Friday night's dinner. But in their rush, with tickets and briefcases in hand, moving quickly through the airport, one of these salesmen inadvertently kicked over a table which held a display of apples. Apples flew everywhere. Without stopping or looking back, they all managed to get to the plane in time for their nearly missed boarding. All but one. He paused, took a deep breath, and quickly assessed the situation and experienced a twinge of compassion for the girl whose apple stand had overturned. He told his buddies to go on without him, waved goodbye, and told one of them to call his wife and say that he would be taking a later flight. Then he returned to the terminal where the apples were still all over the floor. The man was glad that he did. A 16-year-old girl running the stand, he discovered, was totally blind. She was crying softly, tears running down her cheeks in frustration, all the while helplessly groping for her spilled produce as the rushing crowd swirled around, no one stopping, no one caring about her plight. The salesman knelt on the floor with her, gathering up the apples and putting them back on the table, and helped to organize her display. As he did, he noticed that many of the apples had become battered and bruised. These he set aside in another basket. When he had finished, he pulled out his wallet and he said to the girl, "Here, please take this $40 for the damage we did. Are you okay?" She nodded through her tears. "I hope we didn't spoil your day too badly," he said. As the salesman started to walk away, the bewildered blind girl called out to him, "Mister," he paused and turned back to look into those eyes. She continued, "Are you Jesus?" He stopped in mid-stride and wondered, stunned by the words. Then slowly he made his way to catch the later flight with that question burning in his soul. Are you Jesus? At annual conference this year, and Derek, can you put the slide up that goes with that? Thanks. At annual conference, Bishop Bob Hoshibata, who I think embodies Christ's love for others in about the closest way to Jesus that I know, he challenged our churches and our people to be courageous, love like Jesus, acting for justice, and united in hope. So what did Jesus say about love? In the Great Commandment, he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Regardless of who we are or what we've done, God loves us. It's in God's nature to love because God is love. We know how to love because God first loved us. And the closer we are to this source, this divine mystery, the more we can love like Jesus loved. This unconditional love that God has for us isn't easy for our human nature to comprehend. We better understand the concept of earning or receiving something good based on our performance. God's unconditional love is an act of generosity and should motivate us to love God back with a grateful heart of worship. Unconditional love is caring about someone without limitations, loving without conditions, and doing something to make someone happy without any thought for what we might get for ourselves. This kind of love is rare. It's uncommon to receive kindness without strings attached. This kind of love includes a risk and a willingness to fail as we give ourselves over with vulnerability. Unconditional love helps others know, despite any discouragement they may feel or wrongs that they've committed, that someone cares about them. It's putting our own needs and pride behind us and doing what's best for someone else, regardless of how we feel. It requires staying close to someone, not judging or punishing them, but loving without conditions. This type of love has the power to heal wounds, bring people closer together, and create relationship beyond our capacity to imagine. The benefits of loving others this way include genuine connections, personal transformations, and empowering others to step out of their comfort zone and make a difference. When we love like Christ does, this makes it possible for people to see and feel a genuine and intentional love for them. I want to share with you 5 powerful ways to love like Jesus. Number 1, forgive. Forgiveness is a choice and not a feeling, which takes time and prayer. One of the hardest people to forgive is ourselves. When the wrongs we've committed can't be justified in our minds, our hearts hold us accountable. But Jesus has already forgiven us after we ask. And if God forgives us for every sin, we need to forgive ourselves. In Ephesians, we read, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ and in God forgave us." Number 2, sacrifice. Putting our own needs and desires and wants aside to focus on people's needs and wants. This can be as simple as allowing someone to go ahead of us in a line, choosing not to argue with someone's opinion, or spending time helping someone in need. Sacrifice requires a positive attitude and an obedient heart. Pray. Number 3 is praying for people. And this is an act of unconditional love, especially when we pray for our enemies and those we don't like very much. This allows us to lift others up to God in a positive manner, asking God to bless people and work in their hearts and lives according to His plan and purposes. In the book of Matthew, Jesus tells us, "But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, and in that way you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for He gives His sunlight to both the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike." Number 4 of Jesus is important in your life. Be ready to give the 30-second elevator speech. If someone notices or comments on your acts of loving and wants to know the source of your amazing love. And number 5, be humble. Living with a humble opinion of ourselves takes us off of our own minds and from holding a first place position. Humility teaches us that God created us for His purposes and not ours. We become peacemakers, recognizing that every person has a purpose and needs to be treated with dignity and respect. Being humble requires saying no to sinful behavior and responses that want to override our Christ-like attitude. The bottom line is that simple, not necessarily big or glorious acts of kindness are effective ways of loving others like Jesus. None of them are glamorous. None of them will probably get you recognized in church or on television, but simple ways every day to friends and strangers so that we can offer light, love, and hope to the people around us, even a cup of cold water. A cup of cold water is the minimal requirement in the scriptures for what they call hospitality, or in the original language, xenophilia, love of the stranger. Jesus says that whoever gives a cup of cold water to those who are wandering will not fail to receive a reward. Hospitality is a Christian virtue and a way to be loving. The writer of the book of Hebrews reminds us, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. Love is never absent from sacrifice, mercy, or justice. What if we loved people the way Jesus did? It would mean willing to live a life of constant interruptions, loving the person right in front of you. I hesitate to tell this story because I don't want any of you to feel like you can't contact us at the church office, but we have a joke in the church office that says, we could get so much done around here if it wasn't for all these people. Which, of course, is the main reason we exist, so. What if we quit being efficient in the way that we love people and instead chose to be present in the way that we love them? We usually think of the 1 Corinthians 13 passage when we go to a wedding and we hear the beautiful love words for the couple that's standing ready to be married. But as I read part of this beloved passage, I want you to think of friends, family, coworkers, people you like and people you don't like, people you come into contact with, and people of the world. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not envious. Love is not boastful and is not arrogant. Love is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable, resentful, does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. I like what Archbishop Rowan Williams, who is the Archbishop of Canterbury, he said, I so believe this, that personal fulfillment means abandoning ourselves and putting others first. It means moving beyond wanting to be loved and moving into becoming lovers. It means growing past our need for things and discovering happiness in giving things away, even giving ourselves away, as Jesus did. Jesus' love also called out wrong and social injustices. Love sets boundaries. I remember in raising Derek, I remember thinking, and maybe I even said this to you, Derek, I love you too much to allow you to behave this way or to do this, and so there are consequences. Often the person who lashes out, who acts the most unloving, is the person who needs it the most. Our Matthew passage that our Reader's Theater read for us today reminds us of the people that we are to love and to show compassion. At the fountains, we seek to find opportunities to love out the Matthew passage. I was hungry and you fed me. as we serve meals at Watkins and now the New Holly Women's Center, donate food to Extended Hands Food Bank. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. As we provide water for those suffering in the desert or on the street. I was homeless and you gave me a room. As we support You Mom, who supplies shelter for persons until they can get out on their own. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. As we support Justice Center, Wesley Center, and You Mom with clothing donations, making prayer shawl for those who are sick or sad or need to feel a tangible reminder of God's love. I was sick and you stopped to visit, as I know many of you do, with family, friends, or our church family, either in the hospital or those shut in at home. I was in prison and you came to me, as we support prison ministry and visitation. I reread the book of Mark this week to remind myself of all the loving things that Jesus did, the people that Jesus showed love to, was present to. When Jesus was with people, it was like they were the only person in the room. I saw him share love with a blind man, a leper, the deaf man, people who were sick or lame, people possessed by demons, tax collectors, Matthew and Zacchaeus, the woman taken in the act of adultery, a Samaritan woman, the woman at the well who had had five husbands, little children, people who were not Jewish, prostitutes, sinners, widows, orphans, and strangers in the land, the 5,000 hungry people. And I think the greatest love that he showed was washing the disciples' dirty feet. Jesus was a teacher who brought the message of God's love and God's kingdom. This brought a hopeless people hope, but he was also a lover. Who are these people today? Although Jesus would reach out to everyone, even you and me, I think he would particularly reach out to those who have mental illness or physical challenges, the kids from the projects and the kids in Ivy League schools, drug addicts and alcoholics, foster kids and foster parents, lawbreakers and lawmakers, kids in gangs and kids who are alone, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning people, immigrants, legal and illegal, and refugees, people with tattoos and piercings and purple hair, Republicans and Democrats. When Jesus loved people, he didn't just leave them in their state of misery. He loved them enough to heal them and challenge them to be better than they were. We have a powerful weapon for doing good in the world, for making a difference. It's loving like Jesus. Once upon a time, there was a wise man who used to go to the ocean to do his writing. He had a habit of walking on the beach before he began his work. One day, as he was walking along the shore, he looked down the beach and saw a human figure like a dancer. He smiled to himself at the thought of someone who would dance to the day, and so he walked faster to catch up. As he got closer, he noticed the figure was that of a young man, and that what he was doing was not dancing at all. The young man was reaching down to the shore, picking up small objects and throwing them into the ocean. He came closer and called out, "Good morning! May I ask what it is that you're doing?" The young man paused, looked up, and replied, "I'm throwing starfish into the ocean." "I must ask then, why are you throwing starfish into the ocean?" asked the somewhat startled wise man. To this the young man replied, "The sun is up and the tide is going out. If I don't throw them in, they'll die. Upon hearing this, the wise man commented, "But young man, don't you realize that there are miles and miles of beach, and there are starfish along every mile? You can't possibly make a difference." At this, the young man bent down and picked up yet another starfish and threw it into the ocean. As it met the water, he said, "It made a difference for that one." I encourage you to take the time to do something that will make a difference in someone else's life. It doesn't have to be much, and they don't need to know. Just take a moment, do something loving. The universe will know, and that's enough. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.